Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. As you can see, me and Johnny got somebody else to come on and actually talk with us. So this has been a long time coming, kind of been in each other's DMs for quite a while now. So I'm just going to throw it over to him. He's going to introduce himself, kind of tell you what he does. I will say this, me and Johnny have openly trash talk whatnot in the book selling space. So I figured let's get somebody on here that does it right and actually has results. So take us away.
Hey, hey, everybody. I'm STO Bookkeeper. Just coming in. I'm a Whatnot seller. I sell a little bit on Amazon, but mainly Whatnot full time. And I sell magazines and vintage media. So
I think you say magazines lightly here. And there is, I guess, you know, yeah, you call them like spicy mags, but to be more, I guess, descriptive, it's like Playboy type hustler, yeah, and things
mainly
like
Playboy.
That. Mainly Playboy. So that's kind of selling. How did you decide like this is going to be your thing?
So man, I got on Whatnot, man, like I want to say about 2 years ago almost now. And it's only because I got kicked off of eBay just because of trying to sell, you know, mags and things like that. I just stumbled upon them on an estate sale. And that's mainly the attraction of just like, okay, these are in great shape. I mean, they're in the book section. I mean, can these sell like books? I reached out to one of my mentors, Max, and he let me know, yeah, these are able to be sold. So I'm like, okay, let me try selling them on Whatnot. So I went and tried a show out, and I think I started them for like $15, and just because I'm like, this is probably what they're going for, and one person bought them all. So I'm like, well, then I know there's other people that probably want them. So that just got a light bulb in my head. And I'm like, let me try starting to just only sell these. I tried yearbooks on Whatnot and they didn't do as well for me. I sold a couple of them and they're just like, wasn't any interest in that for me. But when I started getting into Playboys is more pop culture, and I'm into pop culture. So it seemed right up my alley for is what I can get interested into and learn more about. And I was right. I learned a ton, and I'm still continuously learning each day. So it's a very interesting path I started down, but it started all just at an estate sale. I thought like, hey, maybe I can sell these.
Johnny, I'm going to throw it over to you here in a second. I'm just curious. Like, so I guess there are certain limitations on eBay. I don't know. Like you can't sell, like, I know you try selling, like I've tried giving Johnny like some anime kind of like 18 plus type stuff that he can't sell. So I'm guessing, is it kind of the same with Playboy, or does it depend on like the cover, the photos? I have no idea. I'm just asking you to.
So first starting off, I tried selling like all the, I didn't know any like of the, you know, rules really on eBay for that. So I posted not just Playboy. You can sell mainly Playboy, but they still tag you for that if you do too much. It's really kind of risky. But I was doing Hustlers and other magazines and things like that. And you know, I got dinged a couple times, and I was thinking like maybe it's just I see others selling it. So I'm thinking it's fine. So I go and continuously posting, you know, sometimes it's one and done, and two or three and done. So it depends on your account. But they kicked me off. And I can get back on if I really tried hard to, but I just was like, let me pivot to something else, because Whatnot was just being promoted so heavily in my book group. So I was like, let me try Whatnot out. Let me see what this is about. And I definitely, I'm glad I did. I'm glad eBay kicked me off, honestly.
Yeah, the rules on eBay for that stuff, they're really hard, and it's like speeding, right? Sometimes they catch you, sometimes they don't. You can figure out how to list that stuff by breaking the rules, quote unquote.
Right.
It's a harder racket. And I kind of agree with you. If you're gonna specialize in that stuff, just go to a platform where they're okay with it. So I think Whatnot was a good choice for that.
Yeah.
They do let you a little bit on Amazon, but they're kind of like eBay. They got certain rules and requirements and how you pack that stuff. Are you selling the same kind of stock over on Amazon, or?
Yeah, I've sold Playboys over on Amazon. I've sold maybe like 10 to 12 of them over there. They sell pretty well. You just got to be careful because I've gotten dinged for like logo, like brand things for the covers on Playboy. So I don't think they dinged me, but
Don't they have
as
you
long
put them in those like black coverless bags or
Oh,
not?
I did it FBM, so it was FBM. I didn't send them in, so
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I
Because I
just
think
sent
in
them in.
FBA you have to use special poly bags where it doesn't show the
Yeah.
covers. So that's neat. So Whatnot, so you had the one customer buy everything. So how did you scale the Whatnot up to like what it is today? Like every show is a banger for you pretty much.
Man, just I do a show every day. I constantly get inventory too. So like I do shows 6 to 7 days a week and
Wow.
started off for like an hour. Now I'm doing like 4 to 6 hour shows a night. So it just all just started with like honestly just getting 1 hour shows in a day and just being consistent. It started off like I maybe did 2 shows a week, and then I started to learn to get the inventory a bit, and I kind of scaled the shows up more. So
Were you nervous at the start? Because I know when Mike and I started, we were a little bit nervous doing the podcast, and it's exhausting just talking and talking
oh
and
yeah,
talking. And
oh
by
yeah,
the end, we're kind of like brain dead. Are you just kind of the
yeah.
same way after a Whatnot show?
Oh,
Just
1,000%. It's like I've competed in things and done things like with stages and things like that. So I know the feeling of being like drained from like performing. So it's like yeah, it's definitely a performance whenever you're like putting on for the camera and things like that.
Right.
People enjoy the shows. They want the entertainment. Like they really thrive off the energy of Whatnot. That's what mainly the difference between other platforms. You can bring that energy through the camera, which kind of translate into dollars. So.
Gotcha. So 6 days a week. That sounds rough, but I know you like it. I know you like the money, but do you ever have days you're like, I just don't want to stream tonight, and you have to do it anyway, kind of deal?
Only days where I come off from doing pickups. If I do a pickup that
Yeah.
day, and I have to do all the heavy lifting. Honestly, I could stream every day. I'm looking into hiring employees because I could stream every day, for a couple hours. The streaming isn't the hard part. More or less the all the things behind the streaming, the shipping, the packing, and the sourcing, and the moving the boxes. I'm moving thousands of magazines of boxes a month, so it's a lot of stress on the body. Luckily, I love to get massages, so that helps out.
There you go. So let's talk about the shipping for a minute. So how many hours of shipping to how many hours of streaming do you say the ratio is?
Wow, yeah, that is. So if I do about 2 hours of streaming, it's about 3 hours of shipping. If I do 4 to 5 hours of streaming, it's about like 6 to 7 hours of shipping. So it can
Wow.
get. I'm doing all the shipping mainly by myself. Right now, I'm on like a tour of around the Midwest to East Coast, kinda. So, and I'm kind of hitting some family members' houses. So I'm getting some help with shipping right now, so it's helping out. But normally it takes me a good 4 to 7 hours of shipping. I wake up at 4:30 mainly every day to start working on shipping.
So do you go to the post office to drop it off, or do you have them come pick it up?
I go to the post office, have them drop it off. I haven't got to the point to where I'm getting soon. I'm going to be having them come pick it up, but right now I'm just dropping it off.
Very cool. So on the stream, you have to put on a show, as you said, and you do a performance.
Yeah, like a persona.
What do you find is that people react to the best in your personal performance? Is it comedy? Is it historical facts? Is it you just going, oh wow, this is so cool? Or what's kind of like the
That's a
your
good
special?
question. So I feel it's a different crowd every night. That's one of the things I think it's more or less it's you have to adapt. So each night it's a little different. So some nights I have to kind of maybe talk more about the price of the mags and how much their value is. But more or less, sometimes I have a lot of collectors in there and they're already bidding them up already. And I have to tell more about the backstories, like the articles or the centerfolds and things like that. And that's what really attracts people to bid up things. So sometimes it's more of the energy. Somebody had a bad day and they're looking to like get, some type of entertainment. And I make a witty comment under their name. I always love I got like dyslexia, so I've like really hard for me to say names really. So especially when it's so small on the screen, I usually make up a name similar to their letters, or and people love that. So I always and I remember those names. It's easy for me to remember the name that I made up for someone, so I can kind of always remember that person when they come in and say the name, and it builds that connection with them. So sometimes it's the connection with someone, like someone bid up a mag and bought it because they really wanted it, but they already had five of them that they bought for me before, and they just said they registered. Reached out to me and said, "Hey, what's the condition?" And I told him like the condition. And it was like, "Oh, great! I'm always just happy to support you." So sometimes they're just there to support. So it just depends on the crowd that I have that night, you know. If I see a lot of my regulars, then you know I give a little bit more of just like a chill vibe of, you know, we're just hanging out, you know. So it's kind of like, and I love that. I love to kind of like mix it up, and makes it, you know, not the regular normal stream every day. So kind of makes it a little different.
Gotcha. So, how many of your other peers, whatnot shows? I mean, you're working on your own business, of course, but how often do you get to watch some other people's shows to just pull ideas from or just show some support?
So yeah, I only watch Earth One. That's the other big streamer and on whatnot that sell Playboys. And he does an amazing job. He goes on right after me. Most times I really do not watch other people's shows. I don't like watching other people's shows. Just because I don't like stealing people ideas. It's easy for me to like see something. I read this book, Steal Like an Artist. So it's easy for me to like steal something and put in my make my own of it, but I don't want to like make it sound too, you know, similar to theirs. So I like to give people their own time, their own space to make their own originality. Cause I come up with things off of my own head, you know. So I don't really like, you know, cause I could catch myself seeing Earth One's like little slang, little logos and things that make him, I know I get people get reactions out of, cause I can see the pattern of, you know, when he said and when the bids go up. So I'm like, oh, that works. And I do that. I kind of, it's a good thing, but I kind of don't want to like, you know, steal his style. So I kind of like to only just watch my shows and a little bit of Earth One's. I go in and support him and watch his shows and things like that. But I try not to go watch too many other people's shows. I watch a lot of other booksellers, people in different categories. I love going into other categories and watching other category shows, get ideas from there.
I like that you watch yourself, because I tell people all the time when they need to make improvements in their business, record yourself, see what you're doing wrong, because you can't see it when you're doing it yourself. You're in the act of doing it, but watching yourself doing it's a whole other thing. You can make a lot of improvements. So, let's talk about the bidding. Do you do dollar starts, and how do you do like the like sudden death stuff? What do you do there
Yeah.
for people that are not
So
familiar?
whatnot is set up to where you can do make your business model kind of different. Like you can do minute starts, you can do 10-second starts. You can do sudden death where the time doesn't restart. That's when it starts at 10 and someone bids, the time just continuously clocks down. But on a normal bidding basis, you have a option to add 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 3 seconds. So I chose to do more of $1 starts. And this is just a more recent like pivot to where I did started doing dollar starts, and that's been really helpful for the business. But I also am a strong believer in doing $2 starts, $3 starts, $4, kind of like I see people doing $30 starts. I'm like, start it at whatever business model works for your business. So if you can get your things for a good price and you can start it for $1, I would suggest doing that. But if you can't, it's totally fine to start your stuff at $3, $4, $5, you know, whatever you can profit at and build an audience around that. So that's what I love about whatnot. You can build your audience around kind of like what you chose your business model to be, and you will find your people, you will find your tribe. So I think that's a really good part about whatnot.
So, and you and I are in the same group, and I see the whatnot numbers being posted. Yours has always been way up there, and I've seen people that have been doing it longer or as long as you, and their numbers aren't even close to yours. Is it simply because of the product you're selling and they're not, or is there some other thing you think that it causes them to have a kind of a slower snowball effect? Because you're way ahead of the game, in my opinion, when it comes to
I
whatnot.
appreciate that. Thank you, man. I do.
Yeah, you are, you are. So I give props where props due, but I'm noticing that they're not yet. And I'm not sure it's just because of the product or there's something else formulaic going on there.
I think it's just the time. I think it's just the time. I've been doing it, like I say, for almost 2 years, doing the same thing. I'm like, I don't really like switch up too much. I've tried a few different products, like, but every day I still stick to my bread and butter of my mag. So I know people that, like, that stay consistent. I think it's the consistency. That's the only thing that I can see that is the difference between me and some of those people. And I think if they're still consistent with it within 6 months, I think they'll be right there along with me, even more. I think honestly, the people in our group can really exceed my numbers, like Max and like Kent, because they have, like, it's a lot more variety for books. It's a, than you can get for, mags. It's like only a few type of, and everybody can get the mags that I'm selling. So it's not something I'm doing too different. So I feel like it's more of just the consistency of building your audience and just building people that, like, trust you and want to come see and hang out with you, honestly. And that's the one thing I love about Whatnot also, because it's like I can be myself, and people come hang out with me and order with me because, it's me and they're hanging out with me. So I think that has a lot to do with it as well, because people have told me that they watched me as entertainment for, like, YouTube or for TV, and relief. So it's like with that comes, like, other things that they're willing to help donate. And, I get donations some show. So it's like, it comes with just people, being around you with time.
So personality and consistency, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
So when so donations, do you, so people just throw you money just because they like how you are? Do they all, do you also do like giveaways during your show, or you don't
Yep,
do any
yep. Oh,
giveaways?
yeah. I think a giveaway is a very important part of Whatnot. I think it's people that come in there and abuse it, but I think doing giveaways help bring just those people that may have not stayed in your show for a little longer to stay in that show to see if they're going to win that giveaway. And that's when, honestly, is a little tip I would give people to run your best items. When you're doing your giveaway, run your best items. You're gonna have the most people you're gonna have in your show, most likely, during your giveaway, and that's when you should really capitalize on running the high ticket numbers. And then you have maybe five, you have not maybe you have 5 minutes to kind of explain the significancy of that item, and you can kind of, like, really emphasize why they should bid it up. So I think that is what I use at, like, at the beginning of the show. It's really a hot time to do it. You can do it in the middle. You can do it when people raid you. It's a really good way to kind of, like, get people into the show and staying. So that's what everybody wants to know. How do you keep people in your show? And that is, people hate to hear it, but you don't have to give away, a 5 pound item, but you can give away a 4 ounce item that's like a sticker, and it won't cost you much, and people are willing to stay. So
Cool. So maintaining audience retention, but how do you get them there in the first place? Because I think that's the hardest part about Whatnot, that people don't put too much thinking time into, like getting that initial audience just going. So what advice do you have there for people that are wanting to try this?
Well, it's a few tips. You can go about it as getting a bunch of saved notes for your shows, and that's just going and reaching out to people and letting them know that you have a show coming up, sending your show out to people in your audience that you want to be actually selling to. You don't want to go to random shows. So I think that's a great way to do it. I think having people know that you're going to be having a certain item that's, really, really valuable or rare, and that's by using your title, using that title and putting, whatever start you're doing. If you do dollar starts, they have a little hashtag for that, so that's a benefit. But I think the title, your thumbnail, it's just like YouTube. Your thumbnail and title are, super huge on Whatnot. I really, from the start of it, I focused on my thumbnails and title. Well, not as much as my titles, but my thumbnails and things like that to, like, make me different from everybody else. And I think that's helped me, So I think your thumbnails are important. So I think that'll be a very, very interesting thing to, like, dive deep into for people. If you have great thumbnails, I think that's a really helpful thing for your shows.
Gotcha. So you said earlier on that you do other media, other vintage media. What other vintage media do you dabble in?
So I also do, like, DVDs when I get them. I do mainly DVDs and CDs when I get them. I get them in bulk usually, and I try to do shows with those, and have a few different platforms that I sell those on as well.
Very cool. What do you think Whatnot needs that it doesn't currently have, like the wish list of features and stuff?
That's a good question. If I can get one thing on Whatnot, I think I would make it easier to do the graphics, like the graphics you guys have behind you. I know it's a program like OBS. I believe it is that you can, adapt to it. But I think if they made it a feature on the app that you can kind of make a little bit more of an interesting, like your own little interesting things to add into your show pop up when you're doing your show. I think that'll be a great feature. I think also making it international to where you can, how Amazon and eBay is, the way we're reaching across, the world. I sometimes do get a few Canada buys, so that's cool. But, make it a little bit more accessible for the world.
Can they just not watch it, or they just can't have stuff shipped to them and they have to ship to a US address, then have it shipped up to wherever they are?
So I think it's only in certain countries right now and of the world. So I don't think it's able to be like, downloaded and them to shop in certain parts. But I know it's gaining more and more traction, like in all around the world, but it's just not to the point where, they're spreading to, the US and buying.
Gotcha. So. How much of your Amazon, how much percentage of your business is the Amazon side of your business?
Maybe like 5%.
It's low. I like
Yeah.
it. Cool. So on your whatnot setup, there's all kinds of ways to do it. You got your phone, you got your computer, you got multiple screens. What does your setup look like? Because I know you travel quite a bit.
Yeah, my setup is like a right now it's a I'm looking at it right now, it's like a photo light box right now. And I just started that on the fly because I was thinking about traveling. And it's just a photo light box with a stand, one of these magazine stands here, and I have my tripod, and that's it. That's all I need. And I grabbed the mags, so.
Mike, what's your setup look like?
I wish it was that simple. I got too much shit going on over here. I'm curious though, like what's a when it comes to buying these things, right? Like when I buy CDs and DVDs, I pay like 20 cents a piece. I don't care what they are, right? So like I'm just like I'll pay it X amount for X dollars. When it comes to like maybe I'm scrolling Facebook Marketplace and I see a listing and this guy's trying to sell his whole Playboy magazine collection, even if I wasn't doing whatnot, but I still wanted to make like a dollar or make some money on these items. Like, what would be a dead set? You're going to automatically buy like a dollar a piece. Is that a really good deal in the space you're in? Or is it like 50 cents a piece, $2 a piece?
Yeah, see that just depends on your business model. So I definitely would suggest, just as a safe, to never buy it over $2. Never go over $2 for a mag. If that's if the condition is good, if there's no mold or smell, all of them are good, and the years are nothing like, you got some 50s or 60s in there, you're looking good, So the earlier the addition of the mags, that's even better. So if you got some early additions, you're definitely good at $2 a mag. So
Okay, so the older stuff is better. Now I'm curious, do they still actively make these magazines?
they restarted making them like this past year. So that's the interesting part. And that's just this, that they did go back to reprints. They're just starting at 2025 and up. So that's the cool thing about it. So I think it may even be a big boom in Playboy. I'm starting to see a lot more advertisements for Playboys and a lot more of a different crowd that you wouldn't think that is buying from Playboy. So it's actually really interesting.
Yeah, I was curious. I had no idea, honestly. I just remember like growing up in the city, there was always like those newsstands, and they always had like the magazines that had like the dark covers over them, so you couldn't see as like teenagers, right? So that is, I mean, that's good for you, but then you also got to worry about, possibly more competition. But listen,
Exactly,
I think
exactly,
you sold
exactly.
yourself short earlier when you're talking about like being successful and whatnot. I mean, anybody that just listens to this podcast can hear like you're like personable, right? You always are going. Like I even said to him before we started recording, like I was in one of his whatnot streams this past week because when we have people on, I like to kind of be like a little FBI detective and see what the
Gotta
hell
go
they're
through.
actually doing, right? So like you're sitting there, dude, and you're literally talking the whole damn time, and it's one mag after the next. And I do think you have built up an audience because I've seen people in the chat asking like, hey, do you have the 2006 whatever month it is, whatever year it is, whatever type of edition it is. And I do think the category you sell in helps, but I do think you have to have the type of personality to sit there and basically, kind of run your mouth for, 4 hours a day about the same thing over and over again. So I do think you kind of sell yourself short and kind of you deserve a little bit more credit than you give
Thank you,
yourself.
man. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
It's kind of good to be humble. So estate sales, right? So now I personally don't do estate sales, right? I have enough stuff other places. When you go to an estate sale, like, is there always competition for these things? Like, because now I'm going to be thinking, I go to estate sale, the first 5 people in line are going to be trying to get the mags if that's the case. Or are they like, because vinyl records are crazy right now. Like, people, vinyl's like the hottest thing in the media space. I wonder if the magazines are kind of the same way, in your opinion. Like, if you go to a estate sale, do you got to be like one of those first three in line and then run straight for where the mags are?
In some areas, yes, unfortunately, it is that way. I did a video where I was vlogging me doing a collection at a estate sale and going, I told everybody that I was going to pick it up, and I recorded the me walking through the estate sale, and it's a part in the video you see the person picking up the magazines that I was going for, and I'm like, that's exactly what they were like, yeah, I've been out here waiting for, my friend told me to come up here, and we've been waiting out here for all day. So yeah, sometimes you think that there no one's coming, and then you 20 minutes late and they're gone. So I definitely have gone early and been waiting for hours to pick up mags at estate sales. It's definitely one of those things that people are starting to kind of come around to, and it's a lot of like a lot of older gentlemen are starting to really get them just for their collections. They're collecting them. So
I got another one. It's when I go to a thrift store and maybe they have like three of the same DVD or book or something like that. And the person's like, oh man, what are you going to do? Play one of these DVDs in every room? Like they're trying to be a smart ass about me being a reseller. But I think, like, dude, you've had to be in some weird ass positions where they're just like, why the hell is this guy buying 5,000 Playboy magazines? Like, have you been in awkward, weird situations just because of the business model?
It's pretty crazy because I do meet a lot of different people. I've met people who've been dated Playboy models, and I've met people who's hung out with Hef, and I've met people who just like got them from their dad. So it's people who really want to talk to me about the Playboy mags and get in depth on like what my collection is and things like that. And I'm just like, because I like because I tell them like I collect a bit, which I do. I got a collection and I enjoy it, but I'm more of a seller because I'm here for my people. I have an audience of people that that depend on me almost to get them certain mags that they really want. Like it's people who've getting mags for their husbands or their grandpa to it was their birth date and they want to frame it. And it's people who reach out to me personally for significant mags that mean a lot to them. So I try to not get too attached to them, but so when people reach out to me and kind of when I pick them up and try to really connect with me on that, I always get a little off about it, but it's like I understand. I'm a collector at heart too, so I understand. But yeah, it gets a little weird. Some people can kind of be a little off-putting with it, but I kind of just roll with the punches. I really wish I had someone with me to kind of like buffer. I see why that picker show, all the best history shows channel shows where they picked across the country, they always had a buddy, so I wish I had that buddy, and I see why they had the buddy because it's for those awkward, buffers conversations that you need. So, but it's part of the game. I try to keep it cool because I'm always in some weird area of the country. So I just like, all right, yeah, that's cool. Like I'm just here, and they're never any harmful, anybody, mean or anything. It's always just that awkwardness, So it's just like really, really cool. But just I just try to get out of there and load up,
Especially like traveling too, right? It's different. Like I could just go down to my local police station, right? I'm familiar with the area, right? So it's a little bit more sense of comfort. You're always traveling.
Yeah,
So
I'm one
like
of those people homes a lot.
yeah, see, that's another thing, right? You're like, hey, the collection's in the basement where it can't be seen, and you're like, shit, is this the last time I'm gonna walk down a
Yeah,
basement step?
I tell people where I'm at. I'm like, hey, this is the collection. But because I'm just starting to do that, honestly, because a lot of times I go so many places, I don't remember the places, the names and things. I have a route and, I'm going on this estate sale, or I'm going there. So it's like, I sometimes get a little mixed up, but I'm getting better at letting people know where I'm at because I do go travel a lot.
So, have you put any thought of beyond Whatnot or addition to Whatnot as far as your business goes? Like in media land, we see people that maybe want to open a bookstore or a retro DVD CD shop or that kind of stuff, or some other business entirely, like opening a car wash or a U-Haul rental thing. Like they're using their reseller business to funnel into another business. Are you planning on doing all that, or just it's too early? I'm making too much money. I don't got time to think about that right now.
No, I'm my 30s, so I'm trying to, get settled down, start a family thing. So I've already invested into property. So now I'm just like wanting to get more into that and also just expand my business for I see a lot of opportunity with Whatnot. So I want to expand more into the Whatnot space, live streaming and selling. I think it's a lot of opportunity, not just in magazines. I think the whole app of selling, you can sell anything on there. You can literally, I've seen people sell like cotton, tissue paper for like $30 on that show. So like that's the type of, if you see that, you see the potential in that. So I see too much potential. So I'm just gonna like, nail down on Whatnot really heavily for my main income. But I'm a strong believer in having multiple sources of income. So of course I'm still staying at Amazon. I'm getting a really nice check from Amazon this month. So that's great from all of that textbook season. So that's great. So I'm a strong believer. I think Amazon is going to be something I do seasonal for the textbook season and really loading up during the summer and enjoying the textbook season. So I think that's what I'm going to move forward towards Amazon because Amazon's really great. Honestly, I love Amazon too. It's just, I love the Whatnot faster pace, income. And then the consistent Amazon income is also awesome. So
Very cool. So when you find something and it's a lot more pieces than your vehicle can hold, do you do the multiple trip thing, or do you say you call a guy with a buddy with a bigger truck, or you go down to U-Haul and rent something, or what's the process for like a big score for you?
So most times I make a trip out of it and I'm doing big scores. So I try to rent a van or a truck and I load that truck up. Sometimes I've rented a U-Haul, but I don't usually go to U-Hauls if it's not nothing like too major big, So I usually just make a big trip out of it and it fit it all in a truck. A lot of people love to think that it's not gonna fit each time.
Yep.
I've never left the Mac. So that's the thing. I always find a way. Sometimes it's a tight fit, and
They're going under the seats, they're stacking into the ceiling, it's gonna fit.
it's a drive back. And
Yeah.
the cool thing about it's one of those things where you see someone driving with those Macs, and I'm pulling over at gas stations. I'm trying not to open all of the doors and things. So it's like it's one of those things. But it's one of those things. If you get pulled over with a bunch of Macs, it's one of those things you could get out of that ticket pretty easy most times. So it's got its perks. It has its perks.
There you go. So have there ever been any like awkward moments on your stream?
Awkward moments.
Or somebody getting out of line on the stream?
Yeah, I mean, some people come in and troll all the time. I mean, that's part of this new generation. I get trolled every stream. I always have one of the same jokes at least 3 or 5 times a stream, and it's I hope those pages aren't stuck together. So it's what I have. I get that joke so much. It's that I just roll with it now, and it's one of those things. I'm like, I know it's coming, and most times that's as far as it goes. I don't get too many angry people
Because there's
coming
no
in.
editing on Whatnot, so you kind of have to deal with it subtly. It's a live show.
Sometimes I have family come in on me and stuff like that. But at first, I used to get real like anxious and things like that about. But now I'm super comfortable, kind of like being on camera with them. And like people come in, talk. I talk with people, like my family members on. So it's like not too much anxiety with it. So, like I said, I'm pretty good at adapting. So that part of it doesn't really get me too worried. I try to stream in one room that I won't get bothered. So, I try to keep it simple.
So I deal a little bit in magazines myself, but it's mainly like pulp stuff for eBay from like the 30s, 40s up into the 60s kind of deal. Do you ever mess around with some of those kind of magazines, or are you? Okay. How
I
do you
messed up
find,
a little bit there.
I know they don't probably perform as well as the Playboys, but how do they perform on Whatnot for you? Do they perform
Yeah, they
slightly
perform.
less, or go ahead.
No, I honestly believe they perform pretty well. Now, at first, they wouldn't have like the first 8 months or 9 months, but now it's an audience for magazines that has been thriving. The good thing about competition that you can't stream all the time, so when you're not on, people new eyeballs are seeing, and you know they don't have to see you, but eventually they will. So I think that has kind of really helped. So I think mainly people are really focusing on Playboy because they've seen success with like me and a couple other big streamers. But I think it's so many more magazines that people can see success with. Like I've sold Sports Illustrated. You can just specifically focus on Sports Illustrated and sell them pretty well. I was doing, you know, $4 or $5 over what they sell on eBay the other night, you know, just all Sports Illustrated. So it's just not something that I'm focused on. So I think people, if they focus on a, you know, one particular niche, they can really dial down on and scale up their market, because you're gonna find it's over. It's I don't want to say it's millions of people on Whatnot, but I feel like there's millions of people on Whatnot. It feels like it sometimes, but it's a lot of people on Whatnot, and I feel like it's more than enough people if you have like a certain niche that you can build an audience around it, you know, and make a good living. I don't know if you can go full time, but you can definitely make a lot of good extra cash. So I think that's a really, really interesting part. If people focus on different magazines, so many different type of magazines out there that I think you can build an audience around it, just a certain mag.
Cool. So, what do you do with the junk? Because us booksellers and DVD and CD sellers, we have means to kind of get rid of it. I imagine it being a little bit more difficult for magazines. So, what do you do with the stuff you don't want to sell on Whatnot, or you can't sell it? If it's water damaged or et cetera.
Oh yeah. If it's like damaged or stuff like that, then I kind of toss it, unless I've actually had people that has really asked for more damaged mags, because it's an area for those people who use it just for doing craft. So I've had tons of people who've made murals and all these crazy cool, you know, things with Playboy covers. So it's one of those things that crafters love that too. So I kind of keep a pile of them stacked near like my streaming area, and try to keep them there just in case anybody comes in and asks, you know, for some craft stuff. Like, do you have any damage max? Like I've gotten that quite a bit. So just depends on like the crowd, but I usually save a few of them, but mainly I toss them if they're like completely trashed, you know.
Well, the non-trash ones, like they got mixed in. Here's a pile of, I don't know, Highlight magazine. I don't know if they sell or not, but I'm just using them for example. But like, what would you do with that kind of stuff? Do you junk them? Do you
Oh
have a
no, I
buyer
set
for
it aside.
that? You set it aside?
Yeah, I set it aside. I got quite a few different ones, because you never know. People come in asking for so many different publications of magazines that I've never even heard of. So
Yeah.
sometimes when I remember the name when I read it, because I'm like, oh, I remember seeing that somewhere. And then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I seen it on this magazine that I got in a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, I have a few of these, so I run them for them. That's happened quite a few times too as well. So sometimes I just hold on to them. They look kind of valuable. I look up the price of them. They're not like, you know, something that's just like, you know, worthless. Then I'll hold on to them for a bit. So, but yeah,
Okay.
they sometimes I actually throw in a few of them throughout the stream, or I say, hey, someone buys something with like a certain cover on it. Like, yeah, I bought it for this. I'm like, well, I have more computer mags like this over right here if you like that, you know. So.
Gotcha. So you save them because you never know when you're going to need them, and it sounds like it's happening more frequently that they're going to be able to go out. So speaking of that, talk to me about your storage. Like, for that kind of stuff, and then for your stream stuff, right? Because you got to hold on to them for your different shows throughout the week. So you don't need a gigantic warehouse, but I'm assuming you need some kind of organization shelving system for the week.
Yeah, so basically I do it all out of my home location, which is a one car garage. And when I get back, I'm definitely going to be moving to a larger location, because of just the pure volume of how many orders I have to ship. I don't have the space for currently, but right now I'm just using like 4-tier metal racks that I kind of like put the orders on, a table where I use for like just the orders that I need right here and there, you know. And then I have stacks of magazines kind of like around me. I like to be able to see them. I don't like to be in boxes, so I kind of have them kind of stacked around me in areas, just so I can kind of grab them. And I prep, you know, before my show, the mags that I'm going to run mainly that show. So I kind of make it into like a kind of like like as the kids would have it, like the Roblox blocks around me of Max, you know. So, and then I have, you know, my table and kind of the area where I would just reach back and kind of put the Max. I'm working on a better streamlined system to where I can better, you know, basically run more Max while on stream. So that's the whole goal.
Gotcha. Talk to me about your sorting process. Is it also in the garage or?
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything is all in one spot in the garage. I have like my computer and all that stuff kind of in a separate room, but just to print out my shipping labels and things like that. But I do it all in one garage. I have my shipping supplies in the back of the garage area. I have like the magazines that have been sitting a while, kind of like the ones that like you would say that maybe I'm not using or not the brand that I'm gonna sell, kind of sitting off on the side. And then farther up, closer to the door of the garage opening, I have my racks, my table, and like my stream set up. Just a small table where I show the Max. I don't need too much space to stream, so.
So you bring it in and you open the box and you pull it out or tub or container, however you're doing it. How do you do the card shuffling, if you will, for sorting? Like, is it by year or is it by
Yeah, so
stylization or?
a lot of times I go through, I pick out all the ones that I know that are like super valuable and I set them aside. Then I go through and put them in by 10 years, by decade, separate them by decade. And then after that, I kind of go through and just set them in order from decade to decade, and then I'm kind of ready to go from there. You know, once someone asks or I feel the volume of the show is kind of then down, I throw in a different year, kind of flip the, you know, the show around. So it kind of helps me with that organization when I have it in by decade.
Gotcha. So I'm not sure our audience knows the rules and regulations of whatnot or lack thereof. But is there anything you're not allowed to show on your stream?
Oh yeah, you can't. Yeah, that's the thing. It's just definitely one of those things where it's no nudity or anything like that. It's not something that you can just show nudity or things. But I'm just you just have to cover things up with, you know, notes and things like that. Certain things you can't sell. Of course, you can't sell anything, you know, that has any sexual things, you know, related to it. So, you know, it's just mainly just, you know, magazines. That's all you can, you know, people like to go a little farther, but nope, it's Playboy's in a classy box. It's in a box of its own. It's not just your average smut, you know,
Yeah.
down to the dirt, you know. They're pretty classy.
So I'm not sure people know this, so I'm going to bring it up. There are certain issues way back where the model was indeed underage. Are those barred from whatnot? Because
Oh yeah.
they are definitely barred from eBay. I know that for a
Yeah,
fact.
yeah,
But they're
yeah.
still collected because they are collectible. Just she may have lied, or the audience did, or the people didn't fact check her actual age or whatever. It happened. She's like 80 years old now, but is there a rule on whatnot for those particular issues or?
That happened mainly in the Penthouse publication. Playboy didn't really get too into that. They did pretty well with that. I mean, some would say a couple, but no one has any real proof on real Playboys too many. So mainly Penthouse and a few of those non, you know, named or popular magazines that are adult that you can catch that going on again. And those are the ones, that's why it's a catchy thing. You got to know your stuff. You don't want to
Yeah.
be, you know, involved in any of that. So you really need to know your covers, you know, the backstories and things like that. So it's not too much into Playboy, but you still got to be careful with certain issues that show it just a little too much and things like that in Playboy or articles in Playboy. So you got to just be careful with things like that.
Gotcha. So, just for curiosity's sake, the celebrity ones I imagine do better than the non-celebrity ones in Playboy or is there a non-celebrity Playboy issue that's like the best of them all that people may be unaware of?
Non-celebrity. We ain't
Just like
gonna
a
know who
famous
the
issue.
we ain't gonna know who the hell they are if they're not a celebrity.
I
You're
know.
right. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of. One that a lot of people go for.
I'm asking the hard questions.
What's the most valuable one out there?
Yeah, that's a better question. There we go.
Oh, that's cool. I got it right here. I can show you. It's
Uh-oh.
not a bad one. It'd be good for you too.
Oh, Marilyn.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah.
The
What's
original.
she go for?
She goes for at the low end ungraded, which I'm gonna get this one graded, but she goes at a low end for about 2 to 3 grand.
Nice. And what about graded?
She goes for graded. I believe this one. I just got a few mags graded back, and the ones that's on the market that sold in this condition at a, it was a six. It went for 8 grand. So I
A
think this one is
six,
about,
wow.
yeah, I think this was about a 6 to 7. So it may get 8 to 10 grand.
All right, I got some rapid fire questions for you. These are more on the silly side. All right, can't sell Playboy no more. As of today, you have to sell Nat Geo magazines, National Geographic magazines. Do
Oh
you think
yeah,
you could still make it?
100%.
You know your
100%.
animals then.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I could really honestly, I think I could sell anything on there. That app is a lot of opportunities. And also in my family, I come from a family of really good salesmen. Like my dad is a really good salesman. My brothers, both of my brothers, they're all the top salespeople at all of the jobs they work at. Like they're extremely good at selling. And my dad's really good at with talking with people. He's had jobs where he's done like a lot of a liaison, or I think that's what the word is. I'm not, like I said, I'm not that good at talking as them,
What did
but
you do before reselling? Like, what was your last real job before you decided to get into reselling?
before I did resale, I had a business where I did ATMs. I installed ATMs,
Yeah, but
and I
that's like
bought it.
entrepreneur. Like, have you ever had like
Okay.
a crappy real job like
Oh
CVS like me?
yeah. So, oh yeah, oh 100%. So, my last job, I worked for a company where I took care of mentally disabled people and homeless. I'm not homeless people, but mentally disabled people and old people. And I was a caretaker. So I did that for like 7 years. I did that from like high school all the way through college. So that was like my last real job. And I loved that job. That was good. I worked with people and
Yeah, dude. I
helped
mean,
people
that's
out.
like the perfect answer you ever could give, right? Nobody could ever hate you ever in life. You're like, yeah, I took care of, people that were in need before I decided to start doing this. And that gets me to the
I
next
mean,
ones. So
it
when
was
I
good
talk
job.
to my family about like reselling books, like they kind of just like laugh about it, right? Like
Oh, yeah.
I almost should just tell them, act like I'm you and just tell them your story. Like, hey, I decided I'm going to sell live on this website online and it's going to be Playboy magazines. Like when you first like started getting like traction with this, that initial conversation of like maybe just a family member being like, hey, what the hell are you doing to make this money? And you say, well, I actually sell these, classy magazines, spicy magazines. And what was their reaction?
Man, they were shocked. I mean, my partner, she was shocked. My brother and one of my best friends, they just honestly, they were a little shocked at first, and then they were like, I'm really into getting into like niche things. So like I get into little fun things that I like to get into. So they were kind of a little shocked, and then they were like, well, that kind of makes sense. You seem like you would find something like that. A lot of people say, a lot of my family members like say that kind of makes sense. You seem like you would do something like that. They were just shocked that it was actually an audience for it, just like people with books. They're not more shocked that I got into it, more shocked that it was actually people that wanted to do it, they wanted to buy
It's
them.
crazy. And just for those kind of wondering, give a ballpark range of like, I don't know, maybe you're a roundabout of your monthly sales at the beginning of the year to where you kind of grown it to at this point of the year. You don't got to be exact. I don't need all your financials, just kind of an idea so people are like, wow, this actually can be done.
Okay, yeah. So first starting off, I mean, I had a first year I did pretty well on there, and I did over 6 figures the first year. So and this year, I think I'm on track to do around the same, a little bit better. But this the year first beginning of the year started off shaky. It was a rough year, just like for everybody. So and this past last few months have been a game changer, and I just take that to more of less me being consistent on just it's it broke that maybe 16 to 18 month mark for me of like being on the app and getting that traction of just doing that. So I think that really helped, but I really think that yeah that this past 4 or 5 months has really this last 3 to 4 months has really been a game changer. And I'm thinking I'm gonna do well over the 6 figures this year, and I think that's all due to just streaming consistently and being consistent with my audience and just trying to
Yeah.
be bring good energy.
I'm gonna keep it 100%. My ass is not streaming 6 days a week. I don't care what it is I'm selling. So you definitely have the hustle muscle, and you've actually dropped shit
that.
off at post offices not too far from me. So next time you're in my area, you definitely need to shoot me a message so we can go
Yeah,
grab some food or whatever it may be,
for
because you're a
sure.
traveling man, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna be. What are you on the East Coast, right?
Yeah, I'm by like Harrisburg.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be. Oh, I'm gonna be in your area a bunch in a with a U-Haul. So I'll definitely catch up with
Oh shit, dude. That sounds like you're gonna try putting me to work.
I was about to say that's just a con to get you to go work for him. Yeah, I'll buy you lunch. You're just gonna work 9 hours
I'm
first.
busy that weekend. Oh
Perfect.
my.
I got a buddy in town.
Oh
Perfect.
my. Yeah. Give all the sticky ones to Mike. Yeah, he'll take all the sticky page one. Jesus, what did I get myself into? I mean, where can people find you before we wrap this up? Like, where are your socials? What's your what? It'll all be in the description. But for those that are listening and don't catch the description or the YouTube comments, like, what are your handles, and where can people find you?
You can find me at STL, like the city, STL Bookkeeper. So STLBOOKEEPER on Instagram, and then STL Bookkeeper 314 on Whatnot. And I'm there on Instagram, YouTube. That's about the same thing everywhere. So you can catch me there on YouTube and Whatnot and Instagram.
Born and raised St. Louis. Is that why you roll with the STL?
Yeah, born and raised St. Louis, and anyone from St. Louis knows, people from St. Louis love to let you know they're from St. Louis. So
And
I have to
314 is the zip code, right? Or the area
yep,
code,
yep,
whatever it is.
yep,
Yeah. That dude, that's the city life. I'm the same way, you know. Like it's I just need PHL 215 in front of me, and then we basically can meet you in. And yeah, I know
You about
I
it,
know
you
what it's
about it.
about. Yeah. Anyways, we appreciate you hanging out with us, and we'll definitely check back in on you next year because you sent me some of the numbers you're pushing, and yet again, this guy is super humble. So we appreciate you spending your day with us and coming on and kind of, proving that whatnot can be done. Me and Johnny knew kind of sort of that maybe whatnot could be successful. We just had to find the right person, and you're definitely so. Thanks for hanging out with us.
I started from the very beginning. No followers, no audience, nothing. So yeah, it's definitely, I still don't have an audience on any other social media. So I think you just start and don't stop. Be consistent. That's my number one thing I can tell.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I always said it could work. It's just a different, harder grind, in my opinion, but
Oh,
it
it's a
can be
grind.
done.
It
Yeah, for
is. It's
sure.
not easy. I'm not saying it's easy at all, but it's a blast when you get in the groove of it. Once you get in a routine of it, it's a blast.
All right, man. We appreciate you. We'll talk to everybody in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.